part of the 21st verse. The first book of Kings, chapter 18, a part of the 21st verse. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long watch ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if fail, then follow him. How long watch ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if fail, then follow him. Israel at one time in their national life knew full well whom they followed. They knew the Lord. They knew what wondrous things he had done for them. The great victories that had been achieved on their behalf through his servant David. And yet here we have a picture of a complete contrast which has taken place in their national life. And how has it all come about? What is the source of all this which so requires an answer? And we find the key to it in Solomon. Solomon, who in his old age became such a fool. Such a fool that he went after strange women, of whom the Lord hath declared, Thou shalt not go in unto them, they shall not come in unto thee. For they shall surely turn thine heart away unto idols. And yet we find Solomon with 700 wives. And we find him setting up varied houses for that which was relative to the numerous idols which these women of different nationalities had so brought into the midst of Israel. And so we find the beginning of the awful idolatry which spread so rampantly and so quickly hereafter in the life of that nation Israel. Yes, we find at times that there are revivals in the national life concerning the acknowledgement of God, but we do not find in one of the kings that there is a clean riddance of all that was relative to the groves and the high places where the idols were found. Oh, it was a cancer in the midst of the life of Israel. Was eating out all that which was relative unto the very life of their national existence. And then to crown it all, there comes a king who caused Israel to sin more than any that had gone before him, namely Ahab. Ahab, who married Jezebel, and by reason of marrying her became allied unto Baal. So much so that he did in this case what no other king had done before him. He reared an altar unto Baal. And it was in consequence of this that the anger of the Lord burnt hotly against Israel. And even as we see the heinousness of the crime which has been committed in that wherein God has been set at naught, we find rising as a star in the midst of the nation, Elijah. And he confronteth Ahab and declareth that wherein the displeasure of God was declared against them. And he so said that there would be no rain for 3 years. And then we see Elijah going to the back places of the desert place. We see him being sustained by God, provided for by God. We see God attending his footsteps, directing his passage here and there, as the divine wisdom saw fit. We see Elijah so in attendance upon that wherein a dead child was raised to life. We find him realizing more and more the reality of that gift of prayer. We see him coming into a closer contact with the reality of what God was and all his actings in his divine purpose toward him. And Elijah was strengthened thereby. And Elijah was made thus to walk with a serenity and a peace and a rest that none other of that day endured. And it is in that same reality of acquaintanceship which he had with his God that he hears the voice directing him so to go and to show himself unto Ahab. Now what has been happening in the meantime? There is a famine in the land of Samaria. And the people have become entirely apathetic and indifferent relative to their faith. They are in a lukewarm state of mind and heart. It doesn't really seem to matter what happens. Yes, and that which is relative unto the majority of them, draw aside. Don't seek escapism in that which is relative unto the lusts of their flesh, which were so set forth in the idolatry of the land. The pleasures, the enticements, all that wherein they can find excitement. Yes, they are wholly as it were submerged under it. And Elijah so commanded that the whole nation should be gathered unto him at Mount Carmel. He appears before them. He brings them face to face with the reality of the senselessness of their state and of their position. He shows them the very fallacy of the position which they are holding at the present moment. How long watch ye between two opinions? The very fact as it is recorded in the closure of this verse that the people answered him not a word emphasizes the fact of how they felt extremely foolish as the result of the question that he had put to them. Because they realized that Elijah they had before them the prophet of the Lord. And in his very presence there was the realization of how far they had departed from the living God, how far they had strayed and erred from his way. Even as Elijah had so informed Ahab, when he confronted him, he said, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in which ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. But let us for a moment just get the picture right, as it is set before us in this chapter. Here is Israel gathered before Elijah, and on one side we found arranged 450 prophets of Baal, and 400 of the prophets of the groves which sat at Jezebel's table. And on the other side we see one individual standing alone in a great minority in comparison with the numbers that so confronted him who represented Baal. And as he stands there, he makes mention of the very fact. He says, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. No wonder you've come to the position that you're in. No wonder that under their subtleties and their delusions, ye have been brought into the solemn position which ye now hold. Yes, a majority, a great majority. How overwhelming it is. And as we look at the people of Israel again, shall we not say that amongst their number are to be found some of the 7,000 who had not bowed the knee to Baal and had not kissed him to whom the Lord referred? But oh, the majority of that company, how they have been swayed in their minds, how they have been led astray by the prophets of Baal. And yet deep down in their hearts, they always have the recollection and the remembrance of the God whom once they have served. The God who had been so faithful and true in all his dealings concerning them. They never could forget it. That which was relative to the altars that had been broken down in the land still testified, though in that broken condition, unto a former state. No, there was ever the accusing voice. They could never get away from it. And in that company are to be found some who were realizing the fallacy of all that related unto servitude to Baal. And yet you know, though Elijah stood up there as the only one who was able so to speak the protest, not one of them had ever come to the point where he was prepared to stand forth and to take up his position with Elijah. They may think these things in their minds, but they hoard it. They came to a standstill. They never got beyond a certain point. And that point meant the acknowledgement of the Lord God of Israel. It meant that they would have to come forth and be separated from the majority, and that they would have to take their stand with those who were prepared to stand alone. Yes, it is the same, is it not, in all that relates unto the lives of men. There's no rest. There is no peace unto the heart of man when he is found in the position of these people, parting between two opinions. For here is one who deep down within his heart knows the truth, and yet never acts upon it. Here is one who knoweth that that which is a relative unto the facts which he hath heard hath been indeed demonstrated unto his fathers, and yet he himself has never been brought so to make mention of them. Yes, there is a stop, a halting place. That which so declares the wavering state of a man's mind when he is in utter confusion. And you know, all but hot between two opinions are in a state of confusion. They come into a place where they cannot and do not know where they actually stand. They don't know what their position is in these things. They know that which is a relative to Baal and all that fleshly worship, and that which so appeals unto their flesh, and how their fallen nature responds unto all the enticements of that idolatry. Yes, and yet they have deep down within their heart some realization that this is all wrong, that this is a case of error, that this is that wherein they are being led wrong. And all the dissatisfaction, all the uneasiness that is found in the heart of the man who halted between two opinions, two thoughts. You see, Elijah brings the people to a point about it that the case may be made exceedingly clear. And to this end, he calls for decision. He says, if the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, then follow him. He also calls for distinction. He speaks of a distinction which lies between the Lord and Baal. And then he gives a directive that according to the knowledge and the understanding that you possess, then you should so confess it in following. First then, that which is a relative unto decision. He is reminding them that it is an utter impossibility to take up a neutral position in these things. That he cannot, as it were, sit on the fence. That there's got to be made a decision sometime or other, relative to the fact of their standing. How foolish a man would be who never took stock of his own position and standing in life. He would realize the senselessness of such a procedure. And yet when it comes to the things that matter, the eternal things that so affect our soul's destiny, how seldom are we found coming to any real decision as to where we stand in these things, the things that are so vital for our soul's welfare, the things that mean so much because eternity will surely manifest where we stand in these things if we never confess it down here. Yes, we may remain in a state of confusion all our lives. We may not be found either on the one hand or the other, but be sure of this, that which is a relative unto thy position and standing will be made perfectly clear in the day of judgment. And if I am possessed with that solemn thought in my mind, then I shall want to know where I stand in this time state in regard to the things of God. I am not content to leave it to the future. That which is a relative unto Baal may destroy me. That which so obsesses me at the present moment may be my downfall. No, I would know where I stand in that which is a relative unto him who alone is able to give to me the truth, to give to me the reality of the things that actually matter. Because when I come to Baal in these things, then I realize that everything that pertaineth to him is but the outcome of the imagination of my own heart. You know what an idol is in the reckoning of God's word? It is that which comes between you and God. That which puts God out, as it were, out of the horizon of a man's life, that all his affections and all his thoughts are taken up with the idol of his choice. And even as I may be found bowing and worshipping that which is but a delusion, that which is simply the formation of some imaginary thought of my own, then oh, what a terrible state I can come into. Yes, there can be no neutrality in this matter. It's going to be one way or the other. And with that fact, we are reminded of our Lord when he so addressed to the people of old and said, "Ye cannot serve two masters." That is an impossibility, because you can't be a true servant to both. No, it is the one who engages your service, and the one to whom you render the service of your life, who is the master of your life. My friend, it all depends on where our affections are, where our aspirations are, what our ambitions are, what the end in life is to us. These are the things that will master us. These are the things that will control us and bring us down into subservience. But if these are the things that possess my heart, then as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if that which is a relative unto the very spirit of idolatry possesses my heart, then I am found indeed engaged in the service of that idol. But oh, if that which is a relative unto the Lord engages my heart, then I shall be found in service unto him. So you see, there can't be any neutrality about it. The issue is set clearly before us, and we have to face the fact that we are either in the service of one or of the other. It's either the Lord or Baal. And that brings us to this fact, that there is only one God. And that which is a relative unto the very being of God, the one who claims and requires the objects of his own creation to render unto him that acknowledgement which is his due, the one who speaks through his word as he did unto Israel concerning all his commandments, his precepts, and so forth, requires that in our acknowledgement of him, we should so walk in accordance with those things and thus declare our faith. Yes, and if we have not that declaration of faith within us, then surely we come into another position, namely this, that which is a relative unto the facts of the case have got to be proved. And this is the position that Elijah took up. He said, "Now how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, if Baal, follow him. And we'll put it to the proof." And you know how that proof was forthcoming? We won't enter into all the details, we'll just touch upon them. Here is that which is a relative unto the prophets of Baal, and they have bidden to take the bullock and to cut it, that they are to put it upon the wood of the altar, that they are to put no fire under it. What a splendid way Elijah has of bringing cutting sarcasm into the language that he uses to them. Why does he make a point on it? You see, they had their groves. They had their places where their idols were so erected. Oh yes, they had their own and they were perfectly capable in the fanaticness of their minds of leading the people astray by their delusions. In effect, what Elijah is telling them now, he says, don't you put any spark of fire in that oil. You may do it, but now you're in a position where you can't do it. Yes, when you are there in your groves and so forth, you can get up to all those tricks. But now it's going to be made manifest in the sight of all these people as to where the truth doth lie. Therefore, put no fire under, said Elijah. Now, he says, you call upon your God. And we hear that wherein the cries go forth unto Baal, that he would hear them. Now remember, the justice of the act in which Elijah is here bringing this people to judgment. Because Baal was the sun god, or the god of the sun. And therefore it is so feasible, if he is the son of the God, as they professed him to be, that it was most likely that the fire would come, that there would be the burning of the sacrifices. And thus they prayed, and you notice how the scripture puts it, that they prayed until the noon, when the sun was at its height. Surely if Baal was going to help them, now was the time. Now was the season when he could demonstrate his powers. But there was no answer. There was no voice. There was none that regarded. Ah, we see the fanatical episodes. We see that wherein they so cut themselves until their very life's blood drenches them. There is no pity. No compassion from their God. No, there is nothing forthcoming. My friend, if you follow Baal, that is what you'll find at your end. You may depend upon Baal. You may look to him in your season of delusion. You may hope and hope and hope that at the end you will find that everything will be all right. But my dear hearer, put it to the proof. Put it to the proof. Come that which is the relative unto the things of this world and all the idols that they contain in your own experience, can they afford unto you any help in the day of trouble? Can they bring any comfort to your heart? Can they so be a helper and a strength to you in your time of dependence? Do they hear the voice of your prayer when you ask them to deliver you? No, you will find the same answer. There is no response, no regard. Then says Elijah, come near unto me. Now take the bullet, cut it, put it upon the altar, dig a trench right around it, and we'll saturate the whole of it. So if there was any possibility of any spark of a flame being applied, it would soon go out. No, I do everything that might be impossible that there should be any burning of the sacrifice. We put every obstacle, every hindrance, as it were, in the way. And then he prayed. Let it be known that there is a God in Israel. And the fire came down. And the fire consumed everything, even to the very dust, until there was nothing left. Here is an altar that has been erected, and it is entirely and completely consumed. And we look to Baal, and the altar is still there. It still abides. It still remains. Yes, there is the footing to the proof. that which is of myself remains. That which is of God is eat not. It is consumed. For the teaching of the author is this, that it is there that the judgment comes upon all thy sins. It is there that even as the water of vapor and transgressions doth so encircle the earth, so the fire coming down shall lick up everyone. It is here alone that thou canst find acceptance. It is here alone that you can find rest and peace. Then how long, thought she, between two opinions? Prove it. Did ye find that the world ever brought into your heart any sense of a sweet comfort for a day now? Did you find that it ever communicated to you any rest unto your soul when it was in torment? Did you find that it could ever reach your innermost longings? No, it had no answer to these things. It had no regard for you. You found that no, none cared for your soul. But you have known what it is, for ye have proved it. To have received through the warning devotion of thy God unto thy bride, that wherein thy heart has been cheered, that wherein you have been brought peace and rest. Yes, ye have known what it is for the word of the Lord to have been fulfilled in your own experience, whereby you have been warmed by the fire that has come from heaven. You have proved it. Then how long watch ye between two opinions? The Lord be God, follow him, if they'll follow him. In other words, Elijah says, and the proof that there be the declaration, they did declare it. The Lord, he is the God. In that wherein you have the demonstration in your own heart of that wherein God the soul is it, and eat up all thy sins and all thy adulteries, and removes them completely and utterly, so do thou come and declare the truth concerning thy God. And that brings us to the distinction which is brought before us in the text, that there is no comparison between the Lord and Baal. The Lord in the text signifies Jehovah, the great sufficiency of the I Am. And that is in complete contrast to the negative position, to the negative position that Baal occupies. He's got nothing to offer, nothing to give, nothing to sustain. But in the Lord, we find everything that we need. Now that brings us then, in the distinctiveness of the case, unto the fact of the difference between truth and error. In the Lord we have the truth. The truth of all things which he has spoken in times gone by unto this people, unto this nation. They had known of his appearing in the fire before time, had he not appeared unto them in the bush and so forth. Yes, it was the same God. Again, the truth has been made manifest unto them, and at the contrast, then all that pertains unto the other side must be error. That is the distinctiveness of the position. We either possess truth, or we possess error. He is the true and the living God. He has declared. And even the demonstration which he gave unto them, they had to acknowledge. Have you proved the word of your God to be true? Have you proved the veracity and the infallibility of that wherein he has so spoken through the prophets? Have you so realized in your own heart that when the word which he has spoken has come to pass, there has been fulfillment, there has been manifestation, there has been demonstration? But my friend, the Lord has promised you so much, and you've never seen anything of it. Baal, who has sown in all its attractiveness that the gold that may so possess its very image may hold out so much promise, and yet that which is a relative unto it is so utterly useless, it availeth nothing. Oh, hearing lieth, the factor thereof, tested in your own case. Here is the distinctiveness between life and death. It is the living God who acts. It is the living God who so declares himself. It is the living God whose voice is heard through his wondrous works of old. It is God. But Baal, all that is relative to him speaks of death. That which is inanimate, that which is lifeless. My friend, have you ever found the world ever be able to give, as it were, any help to your soul? That which is a relative to your spiritual life, has it been able to assist you in any way whatsoever? It can't! Because death is there. It is only in the communication of life to your own heart by the living God that you know that wherein life consisted. For this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, whom Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. There is a distinctiveness between life and death. Prove it in your own case. Here is that which is reality, and here is that which is delusion. The fire that came down from heaven was a reality. They saw it. They saw the effect of it. They saw the result of it. It was real. But here is the other untouched. Here is that which remains unto the very structure still remaining as it was. Yes, nothing can move that, nothing can affect that, because that which is a relative to the removal of it can only be affected in that wherein duplicity and trickery is at work. Oh, those prophets knew it well. I doubt not, but it was with very terrified hearts that they went about their work on that occasion in erecting that altar. They knew that they had been found out. They knew that that which was a relative unto their deceit had been discovered. But when we come to the other side, we see the reality of that which is done, that which is fulfilled and accomplished according to the word of the Lord. That is the distinctiveness. Prove it. You see it in that which is genuine and that which is false. Yes, we look at that which pertains unto the fire that came down and consumed the altar, and we see in the licking up of the water and the dust that wherein the genuineness of the whole manifestation is contained, that there is not a remaining. It is all finished. And I turn to the other side and I see the falseness of all the assumptions that Baal's prophets have been making. I see that wherein my eyes have been blinded. And prove it. Yes, there is the right and the wrong in that which is set before us in the distinctiveness. Which is right and which is wrong? It is that wherein God hath made manifest his power, in his relationship unto his people, for he who sent the fire is the covenant God of Israel. O Lord God, he said, when he cried unto him, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel. And the rightness of the case was evident. And the roundness of the prophets of Baal was evident. All the distinctiveness. Have you come to the proof of it in your own experience? Have you known what it is just to have the Lord and God, as it were? And you find that you can't walk with them. You find that you can't, as it were, go hand in hand with God in heaven. There's got to be a decision. There's got to be a moment of decision. You've got to be brought either one way or the other. And that brings us to the directive. If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal, follow him. The directive is to have the acknowledgement of the truth in your own heart. And in the acknowledgement of the truth, to be obedient unto that which is so declared and made plain unto you. And in that wherein ye are made obedient, so to separate thyself from the way of error, the way of death, yes, and to have that identification with him who has made himself known unto you. Yes, it's for the truth's sake. It's for the salvation of thine own soul. How long watch ye between two opinions? Yes, God forbid that we should be like the man who could come so far and never get any further, who never faces up to the reality, who never comes to a point of all difference. Yes, what think you of Christ is the best? To try both your state and your speed. You cannot be right in the rest unless you think rightly of him. Some of you say, yes, I proved the fallacy of Baal. I have proved the reality of God. Have you? Then how long watch between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. Amen.